Tuesday night, I'll have a financial report ready and out for you. We had a pretty good month. We were in the red just a little bit, less than $300, and that's never good to be in the red. Last month, we had a pretty good month, and we paid our insurance premiums, and in the transition from the old treasurer to the new treasurer and such, we'd actually been a little better off, but we paid one bill twice, so, you know, that's... but you know, you got a credit now, so it's... But anyway, Diane is doing a great job with our treasury and has got it squared away, right? All right, and such. But I'll have that ready for you Tuesday night. You can look at that. John chapter 11. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." In John chapter 8, He said, "I am the light of the world." John chapter 10, He said, "I am the door," speaking of the door of the sheepfold. In that same text, He said, "I am the good shepherd." And in John chapter 11, where we began last week, and we looked at some of this, He said, "I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection." Now, He's talking, we know, in this occasion, and I'm not going to rehash all that I preached last week, to Mary and Martha. They had a brother named Lazarus. From all indication, they were very close personal friends of Jesus. I said last week, and most scholars agree, very likely the last week of the life of Jesus, the last several days of the life of Jesus, He came from Bethany to Jerusalem and would go back to Bethany at night. Bethany was 1 7/8 miles from about 15 furlongs from Jerusalem, less than 2 miles, so it wasn't a long travel and such. And that's where these folks were from. Many think that He probably spent His last several days before He stayed in Jerusalem with this family. But before that happened, their brother, the brother of the family, Lazarus, had died. Now, when you read the New Testament, you'll find some names repeated, all right? We have the account of Jesus where in His teaching, where He teaches about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man died in hell. He lifted up his eyes in torment. Lazarus, the poor beggar. These are not the same people. Lazarus was apparently just a fairly common name during this particular time. So every time you see a name that's the same, don't necessarily think that it's the same person, because many times it is not. But this Lazarus, a good friend of Jesus, had died. His sisters had sent for Jesus before He died, hoping that He would come and heal him. And he, as a skeptic would say, he waited around and didn't get there in time. Oh, Jesus is never late. Jesus is never late, all right? I don't care when He gets there. It's right on time. His timing is so much better than ours. We think He might be late. They did. But nonetheless, Jesus finally went there and met Martha, one of the sisters, and she heard, somebody told her that He was coming, and she went out to meet Him, and, "Oh, Lord, if You'd have been here 4 days ago, you know, our brother wouldn't have had to die," and this and that. And that's where we come to the text that we find in John chapter 11, verse 10. Excuse me, not verse 10 at all. Verse 20. Let's begin in verse 21, all right? "Then said Martha..." John 11, 21. "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever Thou wilt ask of God, God will give it Thee. And then Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto Him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Well, listen to this. "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life." Oh, Jesus is the resurrection through His resurrection, and He is the giver of life. "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And He answered, "Do you believe this?" Poor Martha, if you read this entire text, and we're going to read some more in just a moment, Martha, bless her heart, she believed God, she knew God, she knew who Christ was. I believe she was saved without doubt. She knew he was the Son of God. She knew he had power. He knew what he could do. He came. She knew that if he had came earlier, he could have healed Lazarus and all this. But yet she also had the side of her that doesn't understand. And let's don't be too critical of Martha, bless her heart. She didn't grasp all that was going on, and she didn't get everything that Jesus was telling her when he said, "I am the resurrection." But folk, let me tell you tonight, Jesus is our resurrection. He is our resurrection. We are not, and I say this nearly every time at the graveside of a Christian, somebody that I'm very confident that was a saint, and you know, it's always them and God know for sure, but I see people that I don't have any doubts. You know, I tell you tonight, Sister Bowman's with the Lord right now. I don't hesitate to say that. I have confidence in that. You know, she's yesterday morning when she took that last breath, folks, she went to be with the Lord. Praise God for that. But you know what? Even in the flesh and the physical, she is going to live again. That is the resurrection, and that is the hope of the resurrection that we have. When Jesus Christ comes in the rapture, if we're alive, we're going to be changed, transformed. That's the word that the Greek word that we get is used in 1 Corinthians, where it says we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. It means to transform, to change from one state to another. We're going to be transformed into an eternal glorified body. Those who are dead in Christ, who have died knowing Jesus, they're going to beat us to the punch. They get to go first. And they're going to literally, I believe, literally and physically be brought forth from the grave. I believe, as a demonstration of the power of God, there's going to be an empty hole where they used to lay. So the people go to the cemetery scratching their head, wondering what in the world has happened. Those co-workers, my neighbors, some of my family are gone. And I come to the cemetery, and every once in a while there's an empty grave. And the dirt's piled out of it. The casket's empty. They've been dead for 100 years. There couldn't have been anything left, but there's a hole there. That's the resurrection. That's the hope that we have tonight. And folk, let us rejoice in it. So Martha is told by Jesus that he is the resurrection. Whoever shall liveth and believes in me shall never die. Now, that's not talking about physical death. Because if the Lord doesn't come back in the next several years, most of us will die. Now, we don't like to talk about that, and we're not going to. But, folk, listen. We may die physically, but I'm not going to die spiritually. The wages of sin, Romans, the wages of sin is death. Spiritual death. Spiritual death is eternal separation from God. That death I am not going to experience, and you as children of God tonight, you will not experience that death either. And the first death is, it's irrelevant when you think about what happens at that time. And so he is the life in the resurrection. Let's read on. And I'm going to just read through some of this, and we're going to get over to the good part, all right? This is one of those I could quit right here. We've talked about the resurrection and such, but you can't read this without getting the rest of it, all right? Let's read on, beginning in verse 25. She, this is Martha, saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Boy, there's a profound statement. My goodness, what a witness, what a witness. She believed that and knew that. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, that's her sister. Mary was the more spiritual of the two. You turn a page or two over in your Bible, you'll see where Mary anointed the feet of Jesus, getting him prepared for his crucifixion. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister, secretly saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." And as soon as she, Mary, heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, that would have been the town of Bethany, but was in that place where Martha met him, outside the city somewhere. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. She had friends and family, acquaintances that were there at the home comforting them, very much like we do today. Someone dies, we go to the home and we encourage them and support them in their time of loss and things like that. And they were continuing to do this, even though it's 4 days after the funeral and such. And so when Martha got word to Mary and Mary takes off, everybody follows her. Everybody follows her to see where she's going. And they decided among themselves, she's going to the grave to weep. She's going back to the graveside. She goes there to weep. Then when Mary, verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She has the same problem that Mary had. All right? She believed, she knew, she understood, but yet there was just that part of the flesh that just didn't grasp all that Jesus was teaching. And she didn't hear the short exposition on the resurrection anyway. She was not there. But she says the same thing, Martha. Oh, Lord, if you'd have just gotten here earlier, you wouldn't have had to die. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He groaned in the spirit. The word groaned is translated from a Greek term there, a Greek word, that means sometimes it can be used even in the point of being agitated. Now, I don't know that Jesus was agitated with these folks, but I think he was disappointed. I think he was perplexed in the sense that they weren't grasping all of this. And he groaned in the spirit. All right, it wasn't an outward moan and groan and crying, oh my goodness, what, you know. But he groaned within his spirit, and he was troubled. He was troubled. And so Jesus speaks to them. They're all there now. Mary, Martha, all of the mourners that have come to comfort them. And he said, where have you laid him? Remember this, when Jesus asks a question like this, it's not because he doesn't know. He's got to get the people involved here. All right? He wants the people involved. He knew where Lazarus was buried. He knew what was fixing to take place. All right? But he asked, where have you laid him? And so they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Shortest phrase in the Bible as it's translated in English, okay? Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? Not everybody agrees with my theology on this, and if you don't, that's okay, but I want you to hear it again anyway. Did Jesus weep because he was so saddened? His friend Lazarus had died. He had been told 4 days earlier that he was sick, and he put off coming there, and indeed he didn't get there in time to heal him, and now he's died and he's heartbroken over the loss of a dear friend and he's saddened and such. No, that's not why he wept. Folk, listen, he knows if you'll just give me about a couple of minutes, I'm going to get him out of that grave, all right? Jesus wept because of their unbelief. Jesus wept because of their seeming lack of hope. Jesus wept because of their seeming confusion and their lack of understanding. That's why Jesus wept. Jesus wept because these people, his dearest friends, those other mourners with them, they didn't recognize that, and they knew him. Now, I say they didn't recognize they were in the presence of the Lord himself. They knew who he was, and they knew, but yet there was still that lacking in such. Oh, if you'd been here 4 days, 4 days earlier. Well, he wasn't there 4 days earlier, but he's there now. He's there now. What in the world? Hey, what he could do 4 days ago, he can do today. But that's why Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. They're thinking, oh my goodness, he's so saddened at the loss of someone he loves. someone he loved so dearly. Now, folks, listen to me. As a Christian, as a child of God, mourning sorrow at the death of a loved one is appropriate. All right? It's not a wrong thing. We weep when we lose a loved one. We are sorrowful when we lose a loved one. All right? We've lost something very and someone very, very special to us. I love the way Paul puts it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that passage about the rapture and such, where he tells us not to mourn and not to sorrow as those who have no hope. All right? There's a difference. Yes, it saddens our hearts deeply when we lose someone very special to us. But let us not sorrow as those without hope. Folk, if our loved ones are the child of God, we can sorrow because of our loss, but we can rejoice because of their gain. And that's how we must look at this. Jesus is not weeping because he had lost such a good friend. For a couple of reasons, he knew that if he was going to stay dead, he was still in the presence of his Father, and he knew that he was going to raise him from the dead in just a minute. But it is an acceptable and appropriate thing to sorrow over the loss of a loved one. All right? I hear people say, and I believe this, I hear people say, even among Christians, and someone will be having a difficult time with the loss of a loved one. You know, whatever it might be. And people say, well, you know, just be strong and trust in the Lord. I want you to trust in the Lord, but you don't have to be strong. That's a time of weakness. But what happens in a time of weakness? That's when Jesus says, my grace is sufficient and my strength is what? Made perfect, made complete, made whole in your weakness. Side sermon there. They wept because, Jesus wept, and then they said, the Jews, behold how he loved him. Oh, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Oh, how they loved him, but he still should have got here quicker. If he had gotten here, couldn't he have kept him from dying like he healed the blind man? Look at the mixed, mixed emotions, not emotions, but the mixed demonstrations of faith and doubt and uncertainty and all that's going on here. This is where it really gets deep, really gets good. Verse 32, 38, I'm sorry, can't see the numbers. Certain amount of truth to that tonight. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself. Again. As we might think, and I don't know exactly how Jesus was reacting to all of this. Was he just kind of shaking his head? Folks, I'm here now. Yes, I wasn't here 4 days ago, but I'm here now. Groaning within himself. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. In a very short time, now this is a little side note too, in a very short time, probably in just within a few weeks, Jesus is going to be laid in the same kind of a tomb, cave with a stone in front of it. Some of these were manually hewn out, and Jesus, the one Jesus laid in, because it belonged to Joseph of Arimathea, and he was a wealthy man, very likely he had stonemasons carve it out in the side of a cliff, and it was a nice rectangular thing. Some of them were just natural caves, and they would work on the front of them, and they would roll that big giant stone in front of them, and a lot of the times it was in a track. And as it got to the place in front of the grave opening, it would fall down. They would deepen that track, and it would fall off in it, and it would make it very, very difficult to get out of the way. You could, but it was difficult. That's what Lazarus had been laying in. He was in his grave. Jesus said, take away the stone. Folk, listen. In God working in our lives, in God doing things for us and with us, God using us as his instruments and tools in accomplishing his ministry and his work, in God doing things in direct answer to prayer, many times he requires us to do our part. Jesus could have spoken and that stone had just rolled out of there by itself. Jesus could have spoken and that old stone could have just crumbled or disappeared. Jesus told the people, roll back the stone, remove the stone. Wanted them to have faith in whatever he was doing, whatever he was saying. We'll see that in a second. To do our part. Folks, let's have faith in the Word of God tonight and do our part. Let's have faith in the Word of God tonight when we pray and ask God for particular things, needs, and burdens in our life. But let's do our part. Jesus said, roll away the stone. Take away the stone. So those men around about, they got together and they got their big old sticks and I don't know how, they got them some levers and they worked and they got that big old stone rolled up out of that low spot and got it rolled back in that track and suddenly there's the empty grave opening. The grave opening is empty. The grave wasn't. Folk, I want you to get something out of this tonight. I've preached this before, taught this before. But folk, listen. Don't forget why we're studying this tonight, because Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Jesus said, take away the stone. And as soon as he said it, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. In that day and time, embalming was only for the rich and the prestigious and the wealthy. The Egyptians had pretty well mastered the task, but if people like Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they wouldn't have been embalmed. They would have wrapped them in grave clothes. They would have wound them up. Think of a mummy that you see on, you know, depicted in art or on TV. A mummy. They would have been wrapped from head to toe. They would have had a burial cloth over their face, and they would have been wrapped up totally and completely. And without being morbid, I don't know what time of the year this was. It was not long before the crucifixion, which happened at the time of the Passover, so it was probably early spring. After 4 days, he would not have smelled good. All right? The word translated stinketh there. Let me find my place. He stinketh. That's an exact translation. He stunk. He did not smell good. Physical decay had already begun. Decomposition had begun in his body. It would not have been pleasant to see. It would not have been pleasant to smell. It would not have been pleasant to be around. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha immediately said, Lord, you can't do that. He's been dead 4 days. He stinks. You know what he said just a little bit before this on the same occasion? Thy brother shall rise again. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I know that whatever you say, God will do. Whatever you say, God will do. She's talking to God. Just take away the stone. It's going to be okay. So they did. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that thou wouldest, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Folk, you want to see the glory of God? Look at the empty tomb that Lazarus is coming out of. Look at the way he's fixing to come out. We'll cover that in just a second. Look at this, what Jesus is doing here with Lazarus. Look at the resurrection that Jesus is providing for him. Folk, you want to see the glory of God? Let's look forward in faith to the next resurrection of the saints. And folk, that's going to be glorious when those old graves are emptied and those that are left behind are taken instantaneously and changed in the twinkling of an eye. That's the glory of God. We get to be a part of that. We get to experience that. We get to be there when that happens. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, this is a prayer, very short prayer, but it's a prayer to the Father. He said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. This is the Son of God. Folks, listen, if the Son of God needed to pray, How much more do we need to pray? He prays to the Father. He says, Father, I'm thankful that you've heard me. You're hearing me. And I know that thou hearest me always. Always know that when you pray. Always know that when you pray. You're in touch with God. You're in tune with God. Your life is where it needs to be with God. Your life is one of having been forgiven. And so, oh, God always hears you. Don't wonder and doubt. And I don't know if the Lord hears my prayers or not. Well, if there's anything that's going to keep you from it, it's that attitude. All right? Pray, believing. Tells us that. He says, Father, I knew that thou hast heard me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. You know what the objective of everything that Jesus is doing in the raising of Lazarus? It is to honor and glorify the Father and to prove and to demonstrate that He, Jesus, is the Son of God and He has been sent by God the Father and He is who they have trusted Him for. He is the one they have believed in. He is what He says He is. He can do what He said He can do. That's the reason He's doing it, folks. That's the reason for all of the miracles, remember? He said, Father, I want to do it so they'll know. So that they would better believe. When we read this account, and we've read it a dozen times, I've preached from it many, many times, taught from it many, many times. Folks, when we read this account, every time we read it, it ought to increase our faith. It ought to increase our trust. It ought to increase our understanding of what God is doing. So he prayed that prayer. Lord, I want these folks to know who I am. And it gets good right here. Listen to verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. I believe Jesus stepped back, looked at the crowd, and with a, I mean, he sounded off so everybody heard what he was saying. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. That's all he said. And he that was dead came forth. Here's the kicker to this, all right? Folks, we don't want to miss this. He that was dead, Lazarus, came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. The depiction of this by artists and sometimes in kid books and such and help kids to understand as best they can. But it shows the grave opening and it shows Lazarus walking out of the grave. He was bound hand and foot, folks. He was wrapped up like a mummy. He was wrapped up. He wasn't walking. Now I'm telling you, Lazarus come floating out of that grave. Don't take my word for it. Read what the scripture says. He was wrapped up. He was tied up. He didn't walk out of that grave. He was coming out of that grave by the power of the resurrection. He was coming out of that grave by the power of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the power of the spoken word. Lazarus, come forth. Oh, smelly Lazarus. Came up out of that grave, floating out. I think by that time he smelled all right. He didn't stink anymore. He came out, and let me tell you what. Mary and Martha, all of those Jews that were around there, all of those that were coming to watch her weep at the grave, and all of those mourners that were there with her, and all of those friends, and such, I'm telling you what they're doing. They're backing up. Their eyes are as big as saucers. Their mouth is open. Some of them are whispering to one another, What's going on? How can this be? Look at that. The body's coming out of the grave. Old Lazarus came forth out of that grave, bound, head to toe. And Jesus made one more statement that we have recorded here. Jesus saith unto them, not to Lazarus, but to those around about him, loose him and let him go. Boy, you can preach a long time right there. Loose him and let him go. Folk, let's make an evangelistic sermon out of this for just a minute. I'm telling you what, before we're saved, we are bound up by sin. We are held in the powers of sin. And folk, that sin makes us unattractive. That sin makes us not something that, except for other sinners, that we want to be a part of. We're bound up by it. But when we come to listen to Jesus and we hear about Jesus and we accept Jesus as our Savior and we pray that prayer of repentance, God, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, please forgive me and come into my heart as my Savior. I like to think sometimes Jesus just said, Lord, loose him and let him go. And we are freed from that bondage. Loose him and let him go. I've often wondered how this took place. Jesus, the Son of God, he's already got him floating out of the grave. Are they hesitant? Some of the men of the group, are they saying, "But you heard him? Go, you know, don't you go up there and begin to unwrap him? Well, here you go. Here, we'll get John. He'll go." Finally, two or three of them go over there, and they begin there, and they untie where it's tied up, and they begin to unwrap that thing. And folk, under normal circumstances, you wouldn't have wanted unwrapped a corpse that was 4 days old. You wouldn't have wanted that. But they begin to unwrap him, and man, they got his feet unwrapped. He began to move, and he got his arms unwrapped. They got that napkin off his face and that wrapping off his head. And you know what old Lazarus looked like? He looked better than he did the day he died. And it wasn't because of a good funeral director. It was because of Jesus Christ. He looked good. Lazarus was healthy. He was fine. He was strong. He didn't smell. He was complete and he was whole because Jesus had loosed him and let him go. Because Jesus had performed for him the events that we're going to see one day in his resurrection. Now, poor Lazarus, bless your heart, he had to go through it again and die again. But let me tell you, there's going to come a day when there's going to be another resurrection. And Lazarus gets to go first. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. Look in verse 45 and I'll quit. After they saw all of that, they experienced all of that, there were two reactions by the people. They've got Lazarus loosed. He's free. Mary and Martha and Lazarus are having them. They're having them a spell. They're excited. Mary and Martha are just all over themselves and all over Lazarus, and the other people are just, I'm telling you, has come from a scene of sorrow to rejoicing, from hopelessness to hope. And Lazarus is alive. Everything's great and everything's good. Two reactions in verse 49 and 50, or 45 and 46. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Folk, I'm telling you, people got saved at that funeral. People got saved at that resurrection. They came to know Jesus, and they believed on him. They may not have before, but they do now. They believe in Jesus because of what he's done. In verse 46, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priest and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? What do we do? Well, this man doeth many miracles. What are we going to do with this man? Folk, listen, there's always going to be the skeptic. There's always going to be the one that doesn't believe. There's always going to be the one that causes problems and causes difficulties when God begins to work in the lives of Christians. Folk, persecution comes because we live a godly life. Paul tells us, for the godly shall, for those that will live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer persecution. There's always going to be that. There's always going to be the one that says, oh, they went and told on Jesus. And the council said, what are we going to do with this man? He's getting a following. He's getting people, our folks are converting to following him instead of what we've been talking about for years. Folks, listen. Follow Jesus. I don't care what the other crowd says. Follow Jesus. Make Him your Lord and your Master. All of this happened. And all of this was possible because Jesus could truthfully, righteously, rightfully say, I am the resurrection. It's going to happen for us someday. I don't care how long we've been dead. Them old saints that died 100 years ago. Those old saints that died 200 years ago. Those old saints that died 2,000 years ago at the hand of the Romans and the Apostle Paul before he was saved.